How do you do it?
Do it. What? Define it.
You'll be at a tournament, like the world's coming up next, for 4 or 5 days, and somehow you always have something interesting to say for 5 days straight. How do you do it? Where's it coming from?
The expressed views of the guests on this podcast are theirs alone and not necessarily endorsed by the host, TWBC, or any associated sponsor. Conversations that are robust yet balanced, on point and to the point. You are listening to The Talk of Tournament Water Skiing. This is the TWBC podcast. And now, here's your host, Tony Lightfoot.
Well, greetings one and all. I am the aforementioned Tony Lightfoot. It's glad to have the pleasure of your company in this another episode of the TWBC podcast. Well, LA Night Jam upon us, coming up within the next few hours as this episode is recorded. And I am pleased to welcome Joel Poland. How are you doing, sir?
I'm doing fantastic, Tony. How are you doing?
Ah, not too bad, not too bad. The season just humming along as it typically does, you know. And for you, Joel, you seem to be humming right along with it. You know, I mean, a few highs, you know, the odd bump or two, you know, with the spill that you took at the Masters, notwithstanding. But how do you think your season has gone so far?
So far it's been a pretty good ride, honestly. I had that nice start to the season with the trick contest, and then, you know, the couple weekends later, I think it was, we had King of Darkness and Swiss, and you know, it started off pretty well in both of them, but didn't quite get it together for the finals, at least for night jump, and didn't quite make it in slalom. So that was a downer, I guess. And then coming off of that, we had Masters, which,
well,
you know, yeah, not a bad day.
Oh, not too bad, not too bad. I mean, but I did mention that you took a bit of a spill out there in the finals, which you were able to climb out onto the back of the boat and give us a big old smile, and as much to say, I'm still here, you know.
Yeah. I mean, it can be a little bit scary when someone has a crash, and you know, everyone's sitting on the bank doesn't know how to feel. So I think, you know, the best thing to do is get up on the back of the boat and scream, you know, in a happy way.
In a happy way, absolutely.
And for anyone that didn't see that, I wasn't screaming at the crowd. I was more saying, woohoo!
yeah, full of adrenaline, a little bit of release there. So, I mean, let's start off with Swiss Pro. I mean, you came out on top on that one, didn't you?
I did indeed.
Yes, indeed. And the other events, by comparison, you're in a little bit, well, I wouldn't say slow off the blocks by comparison, but that may be a little bit harsh. But you know, being an overall skier, you know, requires a lot of time, a lot of dedication to all three events. Do you feel, upon reflection, that you've given all of the events the equal amount of time, or at least the appropriate amount of time necessary in order to stay competitive?
I'd say it's gone in waves a lot this year. At the start of the year, I was really working on slalom, actually. That was probably my strongest event coming into the season.
Mm-hmm.
And then I took a little spill, actually, slaloming, whacked my shin, I had to put shin pads on, couldn't slalom for a little bit. And then since then, it's been a big focus on jump and trick. A lot of focus, especially on the jump side. Really been trying to get that one together at the moment.
Yeah, I mean, things aside from that crash, we're actually looking pretty good. I mean, the King of Darkness, which I think you were leading going into the final nighttime round, wasn't that right?
Yep, leading into the final, we skied two rounds for prelims. We only had to ski one, but I was feeling good, so I took a second round, and yeah, I had a 226 and a 227, so two good jumps. Definitely happy with them. Didn't quite get what I was looking for, though. Haven't quite had that jump where I connected this season.
Okay, how does that actually sound for you? I mean, I mean, a lot of jumpers have different metrics with how they gauge their jumping. Maybe it's pure distance. Maybe it's a little bit about how they feel, you know, just that feeling that one is connecting more with the other to produce the end result. I mean, how is that for you?
I'd say it's definitely more of a feeling thing for me. Where I train at Matt's, we don't have distance boys for jump. I mean, we've dropped them in a couple times, but Matt runs them over every go. So, yeah, we stopped trying that one. So it is a very big feeling thing, and I just haven't quite had a jump this season where I felt like, oh, yeah, I really pushed that. Like, that was the top of my limit. That's about where I'm at, and it all connected. I've had bits and pieces where, you know, like a set where you have three big jumps, and if you could take the turn, the cut, and the kick and put them all together of all three jumps, that would be a great set or a great jump. But yeah, it's just not quite come together for that one jump, so it's coming. Yeah. I'm waiting for that day.
So, I mean, from what it sounds like, you would rather jump, for example, like 220 feet and feel like on top of the world compared to jumping, I don't know, 230 feet and feel just absolutely, you know, just completely like snot, you know?
If I jumped 230 feeling like snot, I would be a very happy guy. Haven't quite got to that point in my career, but no, it's more of taking the best opportunity of the conditions on the day, you know, the boat, the ramp, the wind, the site in general. Not every site is even. And, you know, some sites you're going to go a little further and some sites you're not going to go quite as far. So for me, it's more about just feeling like I did the best I could of that day. And yeah, I'm still not quite satisfied there.
Indeed, indeed. Now, I mean, you've jumped at a lot of sites around the world. Obviously, you practice on a fairly open water site. I mean, there isn't mm-hmm. there isn't too much closeness with the side of the lake. I mean, nothing like Bennett's here, which I'm recording you from, or even King of Darkness. I mean, King of Darkness was really extreme, wasn't
yeah.
it? I mean, like the shoreline just got closer and closer and closer the further and further you jumped.
Yeah,
you know. So, but do you feel that you've sampled enough conditions like your practice site, like Bennett's or Isle of Lake Hancock, to really have, you know, to really have a situation where you're kind of dialed in and know, okay, this is this kind of site, I can make this adjustment, maybe this adjustment, and I'll be just fine?
So at King of Darkness, we got night jump practice, but I don't think we got any actual practice for the event. But we had those two rounds. So in those two rounds, I felt like I found a comfy spot. But yeah, I mean, like, I think if I jumped there for like the week before, I definitely would have been a bit more locked in come night jump time. But I'd say I'm fairly adaptable. And then obviously Masters, I mean, equal opportunity for everyone. No one gets to go. It's like, you know, you just got to go to Masters to know how it's going to feel. And it's always the flip of the coin.
I mean, they say it's equal conditions, but but I mean, come on! I mean, you've got like the waves bouncing off the walls. You know, I mean, it's all on the luck of the draw, really. I mean, whether you're first off the dock and you've got absolutely spot on conditions for like maybe one, maybe two jumps, and then the rest of the way, I mean, those waves keep on bouncing. I mean, how do you deal with that?
You got to be adaptable. I mean, that's the thing, this sport, everything is coming down to being adaptable. You've got the wind that's going to affect you, the boat, the driver, the ramp, you know, the site in general, how the water skis, everything is a variable. So you've got to be really adaptable, especially, you know, on that pro end. There's a lot of tournaments where you're not going to get much practice. So, you know, I'd say I'm a fairly adaptable guy. I can make it work with kind of whatever I got. So I'd say, in that sense, I've definitely made the most of my adaptability. Have I had that jump that's connected in terms of me adapting well and doing everything perfect? Not yet.
Not quite yet. But we're waiting. You know, we could, you know, when that happens, that jump could be in excess of 250 feet. That would be absolutely nirvana.
That would be a connection. Yeah.
Absolutely. So I mean, in most tournaments, some, maybe most tournaments, you have the constant in the form of Matt Rainey on the starting dock, you know, giving you little tidbits of advice. I mean, typically, before that line tightens and you set off out in the water for your first jump, what's the last thing that he typically tells you?
Good luck, have fun. Normally it's have fun or enjoy this. That's the two things I would say he probably says the most to me, especially like, you know, a Worlds or a Masters. It's like, hey man, like, you're about to go out and ski at the Masters. Enjoy this, have fun. You only get to do this once a year.
So it's nothing technical or anything like that?
No, not really. I mean, you know, if it's tricky conditions, like I think at Masters, you know, as I'm warming up, came up to me and just sort of said, hey, do you know what your keys are? This is what I think you should do. But yeah, overall, I'd say we do all the work in practice. So by the time we get to the tournament, it's already figured out what's going to go on. You know, the plan's laid ahead.
Okay, excellent. So you mentioned keys. I mean, what are your keys?
Oh, I can't tell you my secrets.
Oh, yes, you can.
I can't tell you my secrets.
Yes, you can. At least one. Throw me a bone here.
Okay, so for anyone listening who's a jump enthusiast, one of my big keys is getting wide at the six. So if I'm narrow at the six, you know, I got to work so much harder to get wide on the boat when I want to. So I'm, and it's something I've been very slack with in previous years. So this year, one of the main things, even at Masters, Matt said, hey, make sure you get a good setup at the six. And
yeah, because I mean, that end where the six was actually fairly close to the end of the lake. You didn't have too much room to work with, did you?
No, not a whole load, but Matt's is a short lake as well. So, you know, we prepared for that and he drove a different path a few days for us as well. So that it was more like the Masters. And
except without the little drop in at the end.
Yeah, no, we skipped the drop in. Try and keep the suit dry.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, and that was the thing as well. I mean, a lot of the time in the jump event was taken up purely by dropping. I mean, how many seconds did you have at each end? Like about 45, maybe a minute?
Honestly, time moves different when you drop in. Like, at that point, I'm just trying to breathe. You know?
At least the water over at Callaway Gardens isn't like 100 degrees.
Yeah, it's refreshing. But yeah. I tell you what, with that adrenaline going, when you drop in, you realize, holy cow, I don't know how to breathe right now. When you're skiing along, it's like you forget. As soon as you drop in, all of a sudden, you're thinking about breathing, you know? Like, the weirdest things come into your mind in those 30, 40 seconds.
And then the line goes tight, and then you just forget it all and just get after it, I guess.
Yeah, pretty much.
Absolutely, absolutely. Okay, so LA Night Jam, a pleasure to have you here.
It's a pleasure to be back in
South Louisiana. You know, a few of you do make the trip out from Central Florida, you know, to be here and being amongst the festivities. So, what are you kind of looking forward to? I mean, you were here, I believe you were here last year, and I think you ended up being in second, didn't you, or something like that?
Yeah, I walked away with second, and you know, it was I think one of my first real night jumps. I've done Moomba, but that place is so lit up that you know. It's great. It's barely a night jump kind of thing. It's like a day jump at night.
Anyway, so are you going to be looking forward to a big old crowd with thunder sticks? You know, those little inflatable stick thingies?
I mean, I'm definitely looking forward to the actual, like, jumping in the night jump. Like, that is definitely a huge piece of it. But I don't even remember last year we had all the barefooters here.
Yeah.
And the day of the tournament, they all go for a little test run. They're trying out the boat and everything, and they let me have a little go, and I've not really barefooted before.
Ooh,
and that was so much fun. Like, I managed to convince him to, like, the guy even takes his jumpsuit off and lets me use it, because I wasn't going to barefoot until I watched him. I was just in the boat to take a look. And yeah, had a little barefoot, so I'm hoping this year I can, like, sneak back in the boat, get a little barefoot in.
I think we might be able to arrange something like that
yeah.
for you. Anything for Joel Poland. So yeah, LA Night Jam coming right up, but you got a whole host of tournaments coming up as well. Now, one thing that I kind of remembered a little bit from the Swiss Pro Tricks, in which Freddie Winter was doing the Dockside interviews, you actually mentioned that you're probably going to shy away from tournaments that don't have any. Like are just single event tournaments. If you're gonna go to a tournament, it's gonna be two events or more, or nothing at all.
Yeah, to a point. I mean, obviously this is a pure just jump event, but I would consider myself a pretty decent jumper, so I kind of have to show up to these. It's more so like slalom wise. I mean, I'd love to see some more events holding trick or jump. I mean, trickers will show up for next to nothing.
So something like a California Pro, I would say.
Oh, California Pro is the perfect tournament. I mean, we get slalom, we get to jump, don't have to trick, so you get to save a little bit of energy as well, and you know, it's perfect conditions as well. It's normally a great setup. But I mean, even Botas coming up this next weekend.
Yeah, they got trick as well, yeah.
They got trick as well. I mean, I think it's just great for our sport to have that second event. Like, and especially for me doing three events. And I think the next group coming in, like, I look behind me and there's a bunch more three eventers coming through. They're chasing me and, you know, they're going to show up to all these pro tournaments as well if there's a second event. You'll find most of them are not slalom skiers, you know?
Who are these people that are chasing you in your mind?
Well, on the overall side, we've obviously got Tincho, Martin Labra.
Yeah, I mean, like a junior world record holder. I mean, he seems to be breaking those almost every weekend whilst he's still eligible, right?
Yeah, like this, he's pretty insane. But I mean, he's a tricker. I'd say a jumper and slalom. He's holding his own, but I bet you he'd show up to a lot of events. Probably not yet, as he matures maybe into his pro career. Jake Abelson, I don't even know what that kid is yet. I know he's an insane tricker. I know he just started jumping and he's pretty good at that. And on a slalom ski, I mean, he's pretty filthy. So he's absolutely another one in the ranks. You got that. The seventh Duplan.
Yeah, exactly.
How many Duplans are there?
Okay, so we got Louis, we got Paul, we got Tristan.
Yeah.
Those are the ones I know of.
I think there's one more.
Isn't there?
I think there used to be six, but they shared one. They all ate one.
Okay.
Those boys are built different.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, they don't even look the same for the most part.
Yeah, but yeah, we got a few kids coming through as well. There's a little French guy. There's a handful of these young guys that are like, they're coming for us. You know, me and Doran and Louis, we ain't got long.
Okay, so you got to make hay while the sun's still
exactly. We've got to enjoy it while we can.
Absolutely. So, one of those tournaments that you'll be featured in, World Championships coming up in October. You know, you're defending your world title and possibly defending your world overall record.
You
know, the kind of pressure's on a little bit, but you seem to be unfazed by pressure.
I like the pressure. I mean, it's good to have it. You know, like, I've always been a under pressure kind of guy, like making bets, whatever it is. I mean, I remember one set, it was me, Conley Panette, who just skied at the Masters as well, and one of my best friends, Ben Tupp. We're all out skiing at Matt's house or Matt's lake. And we all get into the boat for each other. And the deal is you got to try and make them fall. So I'm doing everything I can to like psych out Ben and just psych out Conley on the dock. Like, I'm doing everything I can to psych him out.
Nothing inappropriate.
Like, just teasing him on the dock, winding him up, just saying anything I can to try and get a little bit of a rise out of them. And they're about to do the same thing to me. They said, Joel's got to go last. So I wind him up and I get them both going kind of crazy and they trick okay. And the deal is it's whoever stands up, whoever skis the best. Because we're all at different point places. This is for trick. Well, I go out last, and Ben and Conley are just like, we're not even going to talk to you, because like, we know at this point, if we say anything to you, if we try to put any more pressure on, you're just going to ski better.
Yeah.
And
how does that make you feel?
Really good. Really good. If anything, it put actually a different kind of pressure on me of like, oh, now I really do have to stand up kind of thing, and, you know, handled the pressure, got away with it.
You know, like, if you do come through, who gives a rat's rump?
Exactly. I mean, if you fall, you don't die, do you? So
no, absolutely. All right, then. So a fun-packed season coming up. I mean, we mentioned the Worlds and all that kind of stuff. Is there anything else on the horizon a little bit for you? I mean, is there going to be, like, a big old long vacation that you're trying to plan at the end of the season, you know, even at this stage, or no?
Oh, I definitely will be taking time off after the Worlds. I normally disappear for a few weeks here and there, just afterwards.
You go completely off the grid, huh?
Yeah, I just fall off the grid a little bit, and I don't know if reset is the right word, but unwind, and, you know, I, I don't know if you're aware, but I train like a madman, and I have this real addiction issue with going just 100% at everything I do. So I'm either 100% in and I'm going as hard as I can, or I'm out of it, I'm not doing it, I don't want to even think about it.
Okay. And typically where you go is places like Chile, right?
That's a place where I'm 100% in. Chile's like a get back into the season. They got the perfect setup, and I'll be skiing like four sets a day pretty easily there. And
find a random slalom ski from the 80s and see if I can't snap that in half.
Exactly,
you know?
Exactly. But no, I think maybe head to Costa Rica, maybe a bit of time in Spain. I've got a week in Mexico as well already booked in. But that'll be a ski week. That's a ski paradise. I'm definitely looking forward to that one.
Oh, over at Gordon Rathbun's place.
Yeah. Yeah, that place is wicked. Went there last year as well for a week, and just an insane time. I loved it.
Yeah, and I'm sure that the guests that will be there around about the same time will be enjoying that week with you. So
yeah, it's definitely going to be a good time.
All right, then. So best of luck to you going forwards. LA Night Jam coming right up at the time of this recording, which is June the 9th. Anything more you want to say?
Thank you, everyone, for listening in. And actually, I do have a question for you, Tony.
Oh, okay. All right. And this is like the first time that this has happened. Okay, so I'm going to put my hands on the table here. I'm going to get ready.
Okay.
Okay, go for it.
How do you do it?
Do it. What? Define it.
You'll be at a tournament, like the world's coming up next, for 4 or 5 days, and somehow you always have something interesting to say for 5 days straight. How do you do it? Where's it coming from?
I don't know. I just read. I do this kind of stuff. I do the podcast, yep. which means I can pick your brains a little bit. I can find out a little bit more about you. You know, like going wide on the six. You know, I can apply that into yep. You know, I can say, you know, I talked to Joel Poland earlier, and he says that one of his keys, which he isn't at liberty to fully reveal, at least one of them, he's wide on the six, which is going to allow him to slingshot on the wide on the boat and get himself a good looking jump coming up.
Okay.
That's half the reason why I do this.
So you do your research.
Yes, exactly.
You're studying it.
Yeah, exactly. Okay. That type of deal.
Okay.
All right, then. Okay, that brings to a conclusion this podcast. Thanks a lot for tuning in. And until next time, it's
ciao for now.
Thank you for listening to the TWBC podcast. Be sure to check out our website at waterskibroadcasting.com. Links to our presence on major social media platforms can be found there, as well as updates to our webcast and this podcast. Duplication or rebroadcasting of this broadcast without written consent of TWBC is prohibited. Subscribe to us on your favorite podcast platform and be sure to join us next time for the next edition of the TWBC podcast.